debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Are Sinema and Manchin going to cause the GOP coup? Are they going to help bring about the end of democracy, specifically by blowing up voting rights and certainly the end of any kind of democratic rule in the United States by blowing up Build Back Better, which will then be a failure for President Biden that literally will echo through the 2022 and 2024 elections? And who are the people behind them? Is this the right-wing billionaire machine that the Koch brothers created back in the day and now has metastasized way beyond that? There are now state policy networks, right-wing think tanks in every single state in the union that are churning out op-eds on a daily basis, that are writing pieces in court briefs for state Supreme Courts in support of legislation. You've got the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, that meets twice a year, where Republican legislators get together one-on-one with individual lobbyists for over 100 different companies and industries. And those lobbyists provide the Republican legislators with legislation to benefit their companies that the Republican legislators then take back to their state houses and pass. Is that what's going on here? Are Sinema and Manchin basically caught in the clutches of this giant billionaire-funded right-wing machine that goes back to the founding of the Heritage Foundation in the 1980s or the late 1970s, and others, you know, the Charles Koch Foundation, it used to be, now it's called the Cato Institute, now he's got his own foundation as a separate thing, Competitive Enterprise Institute, the American Enterprise Institute, Women for America, there's Independent Women's Forum, you know, we've had them on as guests before. These are all basically groups that are, you know, given their front money by right-wing billionaires and organizations that they have created. The right-wing billionaire network in the United States, the political network, through organizations like FreedomWorks and the like, is larger than the Republican Party. It has more money than the Republican Party. Sometimes people refer to it as a shadow political party. I would say it is the right-wing force in American politics, and the Republican Party is the shadow party. And it sure looks to me, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, you know, what am I missing here, that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, in slightly different ways, are buying into this or have been bought by this? Is it possible that what's going on? Kyrsten Sinema met a couple of days ago with several members of Congress. She met with John Tester, a conservative Democrat from Montana, Tim Kaine, you know, the Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate, but nonetheless also, you know, a neoliberal Democrat, and Angus King, who used to be a Republican, is now an independent, Angus King from Maine, who has become you know, I think all three of these people are outspoken defenders of the idea of democracy anyway. And thus, presumably, advocates for voting rights. So both Manchin and Sinema attended a meeting with Tester, Kaine, and King to try to figure out a way around the filibuster. And John Hickenlooper, by the way, former governor of Colorado, now the senator from Colorado, he replaced Cory Gardner, the guy who was all in favor of the personhood bill that would have outlawed all hormonal birth control pills in Colorado. The one that Mara Liasson lied about on the air on NPR back in the day. It made me crazy. I couldn't believe it. And it was just a day or two before the election. Anyhow, John Hickenlooper, the good guy, came out in support of changing the filibuster. This is from a Politico piece, Sinema Pops Democrats Filibuster Trial Balloon on Voting Rights. John Hickenlooper came out in support of changing the filibuster to pass elections legislation, reasoning, quote, if we can change the process on the debt ceiling, then surely we can do the same to protect our democracy, which is the argument that Raphael Warnock, Senator and Reverend Raphael Warnock of Georgia, has been making. He, by the way, is up for re-election. And if you're looking, you know, I've many times people call in and say, who should I be giving money to? I've got $50. I'd like to contribute it to someplace where it's going to have some meaning. And my first answer is always give it to individual candidates who can do a good job. And Raphael Warnock is right up at the top of that list. But anyhow, he came out and he said that he would like to, well, I don't have a quote. Oh, yeah, here it is. He said, our democracy is clearly imperiled. The lights are flashing and we are irresponsible if we don't respond. Now, with Sinema, we know that the pharmaceutical industry is running ads in Arizona talking about how wonderful she is. And my recollection, and I may be wrong on this, so don't quote me, but my recollection is that the Chamber of Commerce or one of the other large business groups, perhaps the National Association of Manufacturers, is doing the same thing in support of Sinema in Arizona. I know she has more than one group that is running ads on TV that says, isn't Kyrsten Sinema wonderful? She's standing up for the citizens of Arizona. At least the white citizens. Which is probably the subtext of these ads. We don't see them here in Oregon, but they're out there. So is it that Kyrsten Sinema has just thrown in with white supremacy and billionaires controlling America? Or is she just trying to get herself, you know, another magazine cover, another photo spread in Time Magazine or in Newsweek or in the New York Times or, you know, wherever she's been? And with Joe Manchin, this is a similar question. You know, his daughter, Heather Breck, made millions, I mean, literally tens of millions of dollars as CEO of the company that jacked up the price on EpiPens, which is ephedrine. I mean, it's an old generic drug. They used to make it out of crab apples. You ever bite into crab apple and suddenly your mouth tastes really dry? That's the ephedrine, or epiphrine, or epidrine, or however it's pronounced. I'm sorry, I didn't go to medical school, but it used to be in contact cold capsules. It used to be in Sudafed. They took it out because you can use it as a raw material to make methamphetamine. But that's what this is. A generic drug, and now they're hundreds of dollars for something that costs pennies to make. Well, yeah, that was Joe Manchin's daughter. So you can see where maybe he's not all that happy about controlling drug prices, except she retired 3 years ago. So the Manchin family fortune is secure. His son, you know, is running his coal companies that are in his so-called blind trust. And by the way, you know, coal is diminishing, but it's not going to go away before Joe Manchin's an old man and dies. So I don't, you know, it's hard to think that he's just protecting his financial interests. It may be that he's protecting the interests of his social circle. It may be that he's decided to throw in with the so-called Koch network or the other right-wing billionaire networks the way that Sinema appears to have. I just don't know. But what I do know is that these two people are stopping the forward progress of this country. And we've tried everything. We've tried pressure campaigns. We've tried confront, you know, the people in kayaks coming up to Joe Manchin's yacht in the Capitol Yacht Club where I used to live. Louise and I used to have a boat there. It's a great place, by the way. With some really great people, and it's low-cost living in D.C., except for Joe Manchin's huge yacht. I mean, he's got the biggest boat in the place, of course. So what's going on? And if they keep doing this, is this going to be the thing that tips us into a coup by the Republican Party to reinstall either Trump or Trumpy-type candidates who want to end democracy in America, who want to make it really, really hard to vote, who want to install judges who don't believe in the Constitution, but rather make up their own little originalist and textualist ideas. How does this play out?
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Do you have any ideas about how to communicate with these people beyond what I'm flat out. Our buddy Joe Madison is on the line with us. Day 38, isn't it, Joe, of your hunger strike here?
Yes, day 38.
What's the situation with the possibility that the Senate might carve out a hole in the filibuster like they just did to pass to raise the debt ceiling, only this time for something I think is far more important, voting rights, number one. And number two, and maybe I should reverse these. How are you feeling? 38 days without solid food here.
Let me start with the physical part. 194 to now 169. Good days,
weight.
Bad days. you know, and that is anticipated. There, you know, there days, you know, headaches. It's what happens when you do this. And I, you know, that's one thing people always ask me. That's usually the first thing. So I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue until this is signed. Now, let me take you to the second question. There is serious movement. As we're speaking right now, the NAACP leadership is meeting with several Democratic senators to figure out how to carve out the filibuster. As you know, the filibuster has been adjusted, carved out, set aside 160 times since 1969. And then just recently, they did it for the the debt ceiling. Senator Sinema's argument was that she wasn't comfortable carving it out because she didn't want to mess with Senate rules. Well, she just did, and so the argument is she doesn't have an argument anymore. You know, if you can carve it out 160 times and carve it out now for the debt ceiling, nothing is more important than protecting one's voting rights. And it's not just African Americans, man. You know, Tom, I've learned since this hunger strike that in states like where you were living at one time, Maine and New Hampshire, these folks actually have a poll tax. And what I mean is students have to register their car to vote and pay a fee if they want to register to vote, which is tantamount to a poll tax.
Yep.
You have states that are now saying, even though there have been several states that have done mail-in voting, absentee balloting, but now want to get rid of absentee balloting. So there is movement. I've had conversations with several senators there were 13 senators, Democrats, that got an incomplete score from the NAACP because they had not come out strong enough to support the two voting rights bills. And now they're all meeting to get that scorecard changed.
Oh, so that's interesting.
I'm staying. Yeah, that's happening as we talk. As we talk, I think that it's a virtual meeting. We're going to get these two bills passed. But here's why I'm so glad that you wanted to do this today. Chuck Schumer has told me in an interview that I did, people, please put the pressure on your senators. Keep their feet to the fire. Use, you know, the number you give out to the Capitol switchboard, Five Calls apps, whatever platform there is, they need right now to be bombarded with calls. And they believe that it could happen, by the end of the year. Senator Warnock yesterday went on the floor of the Senate and said that these two bills ought to be voted on even before the Build Back Better bill.
Yeah.
In other words, get it out, get it done. Then Senator Mark Warner of Virginia came out strongly and said that he now is ready to consider any way to carve out the filibuster bill. And then I had Eric Holder on, who reminded my listeners, hell, the filibuster bill has been carved more than a Thanksgiving turkey. So this is where I am. Yeah. And I told Schumer, I have no intention of stopping this hunger strike until these bills are passed.
We are talking with the great Joe Madison, the Black Eagle. He is the host of his own program on SiriusXM, 6 to 10 a.m., Channel 126, the Urban View Channel, civil and human rights activist. JoeMadison.com is his website. Madison SiriusXM is his Twitter handle. And Joe, you're suggesting that people call the Senate. The switchboard number for the Senate is 202-224-3121. This is a Senate problem, and it's a Democratic problem by and large, because we know that the Republican Party has, you know, I mean, they're right up front about the fact that they don't want everybody to vote.
This is, and you've said that, and I've said this, they are now the party of voter suppression. And they're telling this lie, and you can let your, you know how to, you can tell your audience, it is that the federal government has no constitutional right to intervene in voting as it relates to states' rights. Well, that's a bold-faced lie.
Yep.
And there are several Supreme Court decisions that people can refer to. But what do they care about lying? I think, by the way, 100% of the Senate Republicans received an F on the NAACP scorecard because they have refused to not only support the John Lewis bill, other voting rights bill, but they don't even want to debate it. That's why they keep bringing up the filibuster. So the Democrats are right now trying to work out among themselves how will they carve this out so that they can get the 50+1 votes to make this law.
Yeah,
I'm
with you. And I think that, blowing up the filibuster to pass the debt ceiling just reveals what a charade this is.
Yep.
Joe Madison, the great Joe Madison.
They can do it.
Yep, there you go.
They can do it.
Yeah, listen to Joe Monday through Friday on SiriusXM, 6 to 10 a.m. on Channel 126, JoeMadison.com, Madison SiriusXM on Twitter. Joe, thanks so much. Keep going, my friend, and stay healthy, please.
God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. Just wanted to give you a heads up that Sue, who works on our newsletter, has just been doing an extraordinary job. We have an absolutely free newsletter. You can subscribe to it over at tomhartman.com. And every day she puts together what we call Sue's Daily Stack. It's literally a link to every story I have referenced on the air in the program. She compiles these throughout the program and then gets the newsletter together, and it goes out an hour or two after the show is off the air. And it's just absolutely extraordinary and something I think you'll find really useful. We also have free podcasts of the program. It boils the whole show down to about an hour. That's available through any of the places where you would normally get your podcasts. And that's free also. We're trying to get the word out. So many ways to communicate these messages. So just check it out at tomhartman.com. Tom in Huntington Beach, California. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind today?
I know you're well-versed on the Constitution. As a possible solution to gerrymandering and also to voter suppression, there is a clause, and I'll paraphrase, that says Congress shall guarantee that each state shall be a democratic republic.
No, she'll have a Republican form of government. It's Article 6 of the Constitution, Article 5? I forget where, but it's in there, yeah.
I believe it. Yeah, and couldn't that be used to make the case against gerrymandering and voter suppression?
I believe so, Tom, but there's no time to deal with it right now. I mean, if you were to try to take that phrase, that you know, Congress shall ensure that every state is guaranteed a Republican form of government, or words to that effect. I'm paraphrasing it from memory. If you were to take that phrase out of the Constitution and write it into a law and pass that law and have Joe Biden sign that law and then try to prosecute states, go after, you know, sue individual states saying you are not providing a Republican form of government to your people because you are allowing, you know, partisan officials to purge people from the voting rolls, or because you're allowing partisan officials to say that there's only going to be half as many voting machines in black neighborhoods as there are in white neighborhoods of the same size, stuff like, you know, just identifying all the normal stuff that really violates the whole notion of republicanism, you know, using that word the way it was used at the founding of our republic. It would then have to go to the courts. It would go through your district court. It would go to the circuit court. It would go to the appeals court. It would go to the Supreme Court. And then, you know, when the Supreme Court rules on it, it is or isn't law. That's a process that could take 5 years. And we've got a crisis right now. So I agree with your sentiment. I agree with that part of the Constitution. I think, frankly, this is something that Lyndon Johnson should have gotten on back in the 60s. He should have used it as a basis for the Voting Rights Act. It should have been quoted in the Voting Rights Act so that it would be in law. So by this point in time, it would be established law. Just like I think that after in 1973 and 1974, the legislative year following Roe v. Wade, Congress should have passed legislation putting Roe v. Wade into law. And thus a lot of this craziness would have been stopped. But they didn't do it. And because they didn't do it, we are where we are. And now, I mean, voting rights is just a political football. The Republicans don't want people to vote. The Democrats want everybody to vote. everybody who's legal and eligible and a citizen to vote. And you know, the American people are caught in the middle, Tom.
Wow. Well, thank you for the edification on that.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tom. Thanks a lot for the call. I mean, it's a really important point. Do we have a Republican form of government? Keeping in mind, a Republican form of government back in the day meant we are a republic. We are a constitutional republic. In fact, we have a constitution that is kind of the operating system. It is the uber law, the top law, the biggest law of the land. Everything else is within that and subordinate to that. And we are a nation of laws. Are we a republic? Do we have a Republican form of government? I would argue that increasingly we're an oligarchy, as Jimmy Carter said on this show to me, that, you know, no, we've just become an oligarchy where with political bribery, was what Jimmy Carter said on this program. And he was absolutely right. And we need to fix that. And I think that, you know, some good voting rights legislation could take us a good step in the right direction. Lynn in Long Island, New York. Hey, Lynn, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to give you a little perspective on life. I've been around since a long time ago. And in the 1960s, when I was in high school, they did the integration of Canarsie High School with people of color and people without color, without preparing the neighborhood and without preparing anything about what was going to happen. And subsequently, we had 3 years of race riots. I was the student body president, so I quickly brought people of color into the president's council so that they could have a voice, which calmed it down a little bit. I've also been, you know, privileged to work with the women's movement and Gloria Steinem, and I think that the present regression, the fact that we seem to be losing ground from where we were during the last 50 years, it's very alarming to me.
Yeah, our schools are more segregated right now than they were in 1965.
Yes, but we were moving in the right direction with President Obama. We were giving people of color, you know, more voice,
more
recognition. My solution is to definitely pass H.R. 1 and to definitely pass the John Lewis voting rights and to keep an eye on these wonderful Americans who have fought so hard for privilege. I also feel that the same way that they have fought so hard for privilege, women have also fought very, very hard for reproductive rights. And the two aren't unlinked. We have our reproductive rights, we have civil rights. And if this was a man's issue, if reproductive rights was a man's issue, it wouldn't be a right, it wouldn't be a discussion at all, but because it's a woman's right, it probably is.
Yep.
I think that the women in this country have to realize how important this is. And we're talking about abortions that are given above the 6 or 12 week of the abortion. I have a very good friend who had to decide the question because she was carrying a child with an incredible handicapping condition, and she found out, this particular friend, in the 6 months of pregnancy, that the child, because of hydrocephalus, probably would never walk, would never talk, would never be able to do anything, would be a cognitive vegetable. And the doctor, at that 6 month point, recommended an abortion.
You mean 6 weeks?
My friend, who six months.
Oh, 6 months. Oh, my.
Right. So my friend, who is a special ed teacher, talked to her husband, and they came to the decision. She came to the decision to keep the child. They divorced each other. She spent the next 30 years of her life with that child because of she was a special ed teacher. She had the money. She had the benefits. She had everything.
Lynn, I've got a whole board full of callers here. I need to move along. What's the point that you're calling to make?
The point is that pro-life begins with pro-choice. Unless the woman can make the choice.
I agree.
And we
it took us a long time to get there from civil rights and integration and school busing. Jose in Toledo, Ohio. Hey, Jose, what's on your mind?
Well,
actually, Jose, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm sorry. I didn't realize how long that call with Lynn went. I only have 30 seconds until we're going to hit the end of the hour. So I'll pick your call. I'll pick your call on the other side of the hour. Amazing. One other thing I wanted to flag for your attention, by the way, this is happening in states all over the United States. These right-wing crazies are going door to door, knocking on doors with lists of voters saying, I know that you voted in the last election, and I know that you know, and you submitted a whatever kind of ballot. Who did you vote for? I mean, literally, this is happening. People are calling the police on them. These are the QAnon Republican groups. They call themselves voter integrity groups. And this is happening in something like 17 states right now that they've been able to identify, where these pro-Trump conspiracy nuts are going door to door. This is a real mess. This is a real mess. So if, you know, has anybody knocked on your door and asked you about voting? Jose in Toledo, Ohio. Hey, Jose, what's up?
Well, I was just listening to the show about the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always been of the belief that we may have had the civil rights movement in the 60s and the 50s, but sores like that fester. They don't go away with 10 or 15, 20 years of legislation. There's going to be a long time before we actually get rid of this. We can always.
This being sure what? Voter suppression or racism or?
Racism.
Yeah,
racism.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be prevalent because I myself, of course, Jose, I'm a Hispanic. Everywhere I go professionally, I had to always prove myself because the doubt was there. And that's among my colleagues who are educators, you know. But I guess I just got off the phone with Portman, and the only thing that we can do as people is to keep shoving. And the person that said we need that whole bunch of people behind the stuck car to get it loose, to get it going, is right. We have to all keep pushing and never quit, because it's not going to go away from people's morals for a very long time. When I read a book in college, The Browning of America, and it talked about basically the less white people in time because of the mixing of the races and the ethnic groups. And until we get into that type of atmosphere, racism is going to be very prevalent. It's people do not want to give up the upper hand that they think they have, despite it's an image. Corporations really don't care what color you are. They just want the money in your pocket. But they give them the air that they've got an advantage.
I think you know, corporations historically have very much cared what color you are, because they have been part of this system of white supremacy, and as a consequence of that system, white people have been the ones who have accumulated the greatest wealth and income in the United States, and so they're the ones that corporations want to market to. I think just look at what television ads look like today versus 40 years ago, or even 10 years ago.
Right, right. I mean, they make more money, they're higher income. They can get more money out of them.
Right.
But my point being that we have a snake with two heads, corporate power and what they want, and then we have racist power and what they want.
Yeah.
And
you've got a political party that has decided to use racism and the fear of the other, as it were, as a political weapon, which is not unique
sure
to America.
Them lining their pockets. I mean, those suits that the Republicans wear look really nice. I know I can't afford them, you know, but it keeps money, it keeps their pocket lined. Yeah. I just saw an ad in our area, the Toledo area, for this guy, Bernie Moreno. If I'd ever heard a Trumpster, it's him. His parents came from Mexico, and him talking about making English the national language. I'm like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
You know, it's scary. Yeah. Okay, I'll let you go.
I get it, Jose. Thanks a lot for the call. I share your concern, and I don't have any easy solutions. Some days I feel a little bit like Rodney King. You know, can't we just all get along? Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, remember the Villages? That retirement community in Florida? This huge place. I mean, it's so big. It covers, you know, it's in two counties. It's got its own, a census map or designation or whatever. It's massive. Its own census designation is the phrase. Excuse me. And they're very Trumpy. Well, three guys from the Villages have now been busted for voter fraud. All three of them. Ketzik, the guy, Mr. Ketzik, is accused of voting by mail in Florida in October and then casting an absentee ballot in his original home state of Michigan. Halstead, 71, voted in person in Florida but cast an absentee ballot in New York. And Ryder, 61, was arrested at a Royal Caribbean cruise ship terminal. Apparently did the same thing. All three are registered Republicans. And it's not just Florida Republicans who are voting illegally. In October, you know, a guy in Clark County, I believe this is also Florida, Donald Kirk Hartle, made the claim that his wife, who had died in 2017, got a ballot. Remember this? This was all over Fox News. Oh, I don't know how that ballot, you know, who could have voted? And it was a ballot that ultimately was voted for Donald Trump, apparently, and it was him. He mailed his wife's ballot in. Another guy, Bruce Barman, 70, pleaded guilty to felony perjury and unlawful voting in May after being busted for voting for Trump in his dead mother's name. He says, I was isolated in lockdown. I listened to too much propaganda. It's sad. It's really sad. Anyhow, picking up your phone calls, Dominique in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. Hey, Dominique, what's on your mind today?
What's going on, Tom? I just heard your comment that they're really going to push this back till the beginning of the year, this voting rights and this bill back better. Like, I done waited in line for hours, at least 3 hours, to vote to get this man in, because this is the most important vote of my life, and they dragging their feet. I tell you what, this time as frustrating as this is, if they lose, it's their fault. And they're going to see that these Republicans, they're going to play the long game. They're going to make sure when they get in power again, when they have the House and they're not already drew these lines, they're going to get worse, and they're going to seize power, and they're going to squeeze the Democrats. When the next time when we get to where we can fight back, we need some fighters. We don't need this. I need a fighter, man. I'm sitting in this line. I need someone that's going to fight, that's going to do what Mitch McConnell do. I don't care what the if it's right or wrong. We're just going to – I want to win. Yeah. I want to keep winning. I mean, this is ridiculous. We got people going on hunger strikes just to be equal. There's no reason why that this voting right shouldn't pass. It's 5-5-5. It should be nonpartisan, but they don't play that way. They don't. It's like a Marvel character, like Thor and Loki. It's like any chance Loki get, he's trying to attack Thor, and Thor just turns the other cheek and do the right thing, and it's just not going to work in politics. We cannot be nice. Nice is over. We need a Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't disagree with you, Dominique. It is infuriating. It is absolutely infuriating. I've been doing this show 18 years. Back when Harry Reid was the Senate Majority Leader. We had the same damn problem. And I was making jokes on the air all the time. And, you know, looking back on it, they were pretty sexist jokes. But I was making jokes about how somebody needed to go to stand up. And this is when Schwarzenegger was governor of California. Somebody needs to go stand outside Schwarzenegger's house and snatch his testosterone delivery when it comes at the beginning of every month and go give Harry Reid a shot when he's not, you know, sneak up and stick it in his butt when he's not looking. You know, give him. And you know, as I said, on reflection, it was a pretty gross joke. But the point was, Harry Reid always was always given into the Republicans too, or given into the so-called conservatives in his own party. And I'm over it. And I'm sick and tired of this. You know, Joe Manchin is either a complete sellout, or a secret Republican. Or the biggest and most disgusting egomaniac on the planet, and he's reveling in the fact that he gets to play, you know, co-president with Joe Biden. And I think it's wrong. And I think that, frankly, Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden should sit him down and say, you know, Mr. Manchin, we're going to throw your sorry ass out of this town. You're going to regret the day that you ever came to this town, politically speaking. But I don't think that they have the courage to do it, frankly. And it's really, there's a lot of us out here who are seriously pissed off, Dominique. And I think it's time, you know, today, right now would be a really good moment to call your senators. I realize you've got two Republican senators there in North Carolina, but you call some Democratic senators if you can, and call them up and say, enough. You guys, you think you're going to go on vacation without passing voting rights and without passing Build Back Better? Get the hell back into Washington, D.C. Keep that session, and certainly call Chuck Schumer. And again, the telephone number is 202-224-3121. Dominique, I got to move along, but thank you for saying it and saying it so well. Jeff in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Happy holidays to you and everybody. And, you know, Tom, just as COVID is ravaging humanity, you know, as your Hartman, and particularly unvaccinated America, as the Hartman report lays out today, and just as climate change is ravaging the planet, the big lie in the fascist movement that is today's GOP, it stands ready to demolish our democracy. And our best bulwark against all these threats is to pass Build Back Better and expand voting rights with the two voting bills. And I agree with Rep. Conna, you know, about putting the BBB Act up for a vote sooner rather than later. And I have an outside-the-box suggestion regarding the voting bills. What do you think, Tom? If we can't get Sinema to understand the simple math that Democrats do better when we expand access to the ballot, what do you think about trying to make these bills pass on a bipartisan basis, including in provisions that move us away from voting machines to voting on paper ballots? You've said many times we're the only major democracy that doesn't do this. And at the very least, it would seem to call the Republicans bluff and maybe take some steam out of the big lie. What do you think, Tom?
I think you're an idealist, Jeff. Yes, the Republicans are running around going, you know, paper ballots are the only thing, and, you know, we shouldn't have voting machines. I've been saying that since 2001. Like, you know, a lot of us have been saying that since 2001. But nonetheless, even though you and I and the entire GOP agree that we should get rid of electronic voting machines, and they think that's the best thing for America, we think that's the best thing for America, they will not go along with it if Democrats propose it, because they are committed to sabotaging the Democratic Party. They are committed to gaining absolute power at any cost and using that power to promote their own agenda, which is, you know, racism, homophobia, and let's pump as much money as possible out of the middle class and into the top 1% who pay all their bills. That's it. That's the bottom line. And
absolutely. But don't you think
you can't negotiate with terrorists?
It might help expose their,
everybody knows that the Republican Party is not bargaining in good faith, just like Sinema and Manchin are not bargaining in good faith. These people are political terrorists, and we need to view them as such, and we need to deal with them as such. You know, do not negotiate with terrorists. You do everything you can to disempower them, to reduce their ability to function.
Okay, you convinced me, Tom. One last thing. Why doesn't Sinema, is she that, you know, dumb that she doesn't understand that when McCain gave a thumbs down on the Senate floor, he was saying, no, we're not going to let you Republicans take away health care. you know, and the Build Back Better Act is trying to give to the working class, not take away.
Yeah, her thumbs down was on the minimum wage.
I thought it was on taking away health care, you know, taking away the Obamacare. And she's confused that because what the Build Back Better Act is trying to do is lift up the working class to give people something. And
no, I get that, Jeff. And so does she. She's not stupid. She is not stupid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She's probably looking at being a multimillionaire for the rest of her life if she keeps dancing to the tune of the Republicans and the right wing billionaires. And it's the only thing I can come up with as her agenda. I don't think that, you know, or she's going to become a Republican, which is the same thing. You know, it's all the same thing. Again, political terrorism. It's disgusting. Jeff, I got to run, but thank you for the call. Susan in Alsip, Illinois. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call. About the Voting Rights Act that the Supreme Court gutted in 2013, one stipulation in there was that a handful of red states certain Confederate states had to get approval for making any changes to their voting.
Yeah, it was called pre-approval, yes.
What if we expand that to all 50 states? Then they can't cry foul.
Oh, we absolutely should. And the, you know, one of my objections to both the Manchin effort and the HR1 effort was that, you know, again, it's flagging these individual states that have traditionally been problematic, but the cancer of Republican voter obstruction is spreading through states that were never problematic. You know, Wisconsin, for God's sake. And so, you know, we need to be doing this all across the country. I am completely, completely with you. Thank you, Susan, for the call. Cal in Tacoma, Washington. Hey, Cal, what's up?
Yeah, Tom. A couple of callers before talking about he needed a champion. I think Bernie Sanders was the guy, and we passed him by.
And he has tremendous power right now as chairman of the Budget Committee. It's one of the most powerful positions in the Senate. And he has done his job, and creating this Build Back Better legislation. And it's now being sabotaged by two of our own people, Sinema and Manchin, are sabotaging our efforts.
No, I understand that.
It is so wrong. It is so wrong. It is just so friggin' wrong. And you know, we all need to be calling Chuck Schumer at 202-224-3121 and say, get a damn spine, man. Brian in Arvada, Colorado. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. Always a pleasure to be on your show. I'm very excited about my new production company, New Sunlight's Way, name obviously inspired by your book, Last Stars of Ancient Sunlight. I'm just getting off the ground, but anyone listening who would like to be a part of storytelling for a green just tomorrow, which is our slogan, is welcome to reach out to me at newsunlightsway.com. Let me know how they'd like to be a part of entertainment-based activism. But I was hoping you could elaborate somewhat on how you see storytelling being a part of a national movement towards a sustainable and just future for our society. You touched upon that in last hour's Ancient Sunlight.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. I don't think that any kind of message can be delivered effectively without a story attached to it. It's why there's always, you know, an example of, you know, a person who has benefited from something or is suffering from something. And the Republicans are brilliant at this. You know, I mean, all the way back to Terri Schiavo, right? Find one person, or the woman, what's her name, Ashley, who got killed at the Capitol. You know, I mean, it's like take a person's story and generalize everything out of that. Democrats are terrible at it, and they need to get better at it. Well, here's a couple of interesting little data points. So this is apropos of the tornado disaster in the Midwest, which is just terrible, right? I mean, you know, all these people dead, the property destruction. Can you just imagine having literally everything you own destroyed? Pictures, papers, everything just vanish. It's just, I look at this and it just breaks my heart. I can't stop imagining what it would be like if that happened to me. Of course, you know, we live in a part of the country where the same thing could happen only by an earthquake. And everybody in the Pacific Northwest is waiting for the big one, right? The newspaper last week, 37% chance of it happening in the next 50 years.
a 9.1 earthquake or 7.1. In any case, so this terrible day in Kentucky and Illinois, we're now starting to get some reports, and this is grim stuff. NBC News reported, this is from the Daily Poster, David Sirota's newsletter, dailyposter.com. NBC News reported Monday that workers at a Kentucky candle factory were told by supervisors they would be fired if they left their workplace in the face of the storm. After the second time the tornado warning siren went off in this town, the employers told the employees at the candle factory, go back to work. And of course, lots of them died. Turns out, apparently, the same thing happened with an Amazon warehouse in Illinois. An Amazon worker reportedly texted his girlfriend just before the tornado hit, quote, Amazon won't let us leave. 8 workers died at the candle factory. 6 workers were killed in the disaster, the Amazon warehouse in Illinois. And now we're discovering that earlier this year, Illinois lawmakers introduced legislation to protect workers from being threatened with being fired if they think that their life is at risk. And just think about this for a moment. I mean, I just can't even imagine, if our building was on fire, saying to Sean and Nate, if you guys leave during the fire, you're fired. I mean, really? Put your employees' lives at risk? But according to these reports, dailyposter.com, Amazon and the candle factory both said, you have to keep working. And people died as a result of that. Well, in one state in the United States right now, Montana, it's the only state. If you want to fire somebody, you have to have just cause. And Illinois is trying to pass a law that would put them in line with that. But the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, which, by the way, Amazon donates to, are all fighting that. No, we want to be able to continue threatening our employees with end of employment, even if they're literally, even if their lives are at stake. The headline over at dailyposter.com, worker protection bill blocked before tornado disaster. Now, I don't have an update on this, but I'm guessing, I would bet it is still being blocked. Republicans are still opposed to workers having any power in the workplace, which is just so wrong. It's just so wrong. Anyhow, we'll be back with your calls on everything from the traitorous treason, as Ed Perlmutter called it this morning, the treason attempt in the Capitol, to inflation, to, workers.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And let us not forget the grifters over at Fox News, Laura and Sean and Brian, who are all begging the president to stop your mob. Kathy in Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Kathy, you wanted to get back to the issue of the folks in the factories who wanted to leave and walk off the job when the tornadoes came and Amazon and the candle company allegedly said, no, you can't?
Yes, absolutely, because yes, they can. Yes, they could have. They could have walked out. That was an imminent danger. They were covered by OSHA, which covers most, by far most, private sector workers and some public sector workers. And under OSHA, there is called right to refuse. And in the case of imminent danger, there is no question they had the right to walk out. And while I was waiting on the phone, I was reading, reports about the candle factory incident. It was heartbreaking because the way they frame it in the reporting is the workers asking, can I leave, requesting to leave, all this stuff. They could have just left. It was an imminent danger no matter what the boss says. And furthermore, any worker covered by OSHA who exercises a right under OSHA is free from employer retaliation. I want to know if any of these workplace things were posted in the workplace.
Oh, even if they were probably done in such legalese that the average worker had no idea what they actually meant. Which raises the second question, Kathy, which is apparently you are familiar with this law in this area. I'm not so familiar with it. If I was a worker and if I said, okay, my life is in danger, I'm walking off, and my employer fired me, it seems like the next step, if I'm protected by federal law, is to hire a lawyer who will file a lawsuit in federal court, or will go to OSHA. I mean,
the average worker probably doesn't have the resources, not certainly probably doesn't have the, you know, the information needed to do that, but probably doesn't have the resources to do it either. Or how does that play out?
Well, that's very true. They're not making enough money to even cover the space between getting resolution, because as you know, when it comes to workers and labor and all this stuff, justice delayed is always justice denied. Yep. But this is a question of life or limb, and the worker has to make that determination. Typically what you would do in the case of an OSHA violation like that, you would go to OSHA and they would take it. I don't think you necessarily have to hire a lawyer. I don't think you're necessarily precluded from hiring a lawyer. I'm not an expert in that field. I'm just somebody who worked in the labor movement for a zillion years and now writes about it on occasion. What people really need to do is go on their websites for OSHA and know these rights, because these catastrophic weather conditions are going to be plaguing us for a very long time, probably well past my lifetime. And people need to know what their rights are. Imminent danger is imminent danger. And there's a case law going back to 1980. The court does talk about imminent danger. There are other types of dangers that are not imminent, but people need to know that when they go through certain steps for, you know, where it's kind of dicey, where you have to ask the employer to correct it, the employer fails to correct it, et cetera, and so on.
So, Kathy, if, you know, as somebody who's worked in the labor field, if this is all the case, if OSHA is, you know, providing this umbrella to all of us, then why is the Illinois and the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce lobbying so hard against a law in Illinois that would bring them up to the standards of Montana, offering workers, you know, eliminating the you may be fired for no cause provisions? Or is that a separate thing?
Well, that's what prompted me to call, because I don't even know why Illinois would need a separate law when we've got federal OSHA that's very clear on what workers' rights are.
But this is limited to safety. I mean, if an employer has to, in every state in the union right now except Montana, an employer can fire a person and just say, you know, I did it because I felt like it. And in Montana, you've got to say, well, you know, here's the list of seven things that you did that where you really screwed up, and thus you're out of here. And, you know, one of those things might be you walked off the job while you thought you weren't safe. So to disentangle those two issues, the worker, the you must have cause to fire impinges on safety, but not always. So do I have that right?
Well, yeah, I think what we're talking about is two different things, because you're talking about, cause or just cause,
right,
which typically if you're not covered by a union, an employer can fire you what they say for any reason. Well, we know there's exceptions, discrimination and all that other kind of stuff.
Right.
But there's also the exception in this case covered by OSHA when you are trying to enforce your rights under OSHA to have a safe workplace and to be safe at work or leave that work if you're in imminent danger.
Right.
So there, to me, it sounds like there's no question with regard to safety. And I'm a little murky about why they're not, you know, relying on that. What Illinois can do, if Illinois, and they probably do, has a separate, states can set up their own state OSHAs.
Mm-hmm.
And what the law says about that, what OSHA, and it's right on OSHA's webpage, all this information is right there, is that the state OSHAs have to be at least as compliant with federal OSHA or more.
Right.
So if they want to go above, you know, what federal OSHA says, fine.
Right, so if federal law is the floor, not the ceiling.
Federal OSHA.
Yeah, I get it. Kathy, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you, and I appreciate the wealth of knowledge you brought to our program. Thank you so much. Tom in Lafayette, Louisiana. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, I wanted to talk about the tornadoes.
Yeah.
We have hurricanes down here, and I know a couple of people that live in tornado-prone states, Alabama and Arkansas, and they both have storm shelters. So this is what I keep hearing this about, that they didn't let them leave to go home. But when you know that a tornado is coming, you have a very short window. If you live in the town where you can hear the sirens, so number one, did they even hear the sirens?
They did.
And how were they notified?
At the candle factory, yeah.
Well, Okay. So what I, but the last thing you want to do is when a tornado is coming is get in your car and get on the road.
Right. So you are you raising the question, Tom, why did that candle factory not have a secure storm cellar or storm shelter?
Well, I don't know if they did or not, but they, if they're in a tornado-prone area, you would think that they would have a storm shelter on the premises. And that Amazon facility was relatively new, and I'm wondering, you know, as far as the building code, if it was up to code as far as being resistant to wind damage.
Excellent questions, Tom. I don't know the answer to either of those questions, but I'm guessing that there's a whole bunch of lawyers who are trying to figure it out right now. And I think that's a good thing, you know, is putting some accountability into this. Tom, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for listening to us down there in Louisiana. The place where despair is not an option. Get active, right? It's the ultimate cure for despair. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Tom Hartman here with you. I got an email this morning from indivisible.org saying that the Senate leadership, that would be Chuck Schumer, is thinking about taking a recess, a break, a vacation today, without passing Build Back Better and without passing civil rights legislation, and encouraging us all to call the congressional switchboard and talk to both of our senators, regardless of their party, and saying, you guys are not, you should not go home until you have passed Build Back Better and voting rights. Don't even think about it. And maybe, and not even maybe, I'd reverse the order. You're not going home until you've passed voting rights and Build Back Better. And the number for that switchboard, that congressional switchboard, is 202-224-3121. It gets you any member of the Senate or the House. You just ask for them. This is the switchboard. You know, write it on your refrigerator, right? 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Call them now or anytime today, anytime in the next couple hours, and say, do not go on recess until you have passed voting rights and Build Back Better. Don't you friggin' dare.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.